Blog Talk Radio.
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006. A brief word from our sponsor, Reality Books, publisher of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A short extract from the book, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. God will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. In other words, until they change their way of thinking. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution is designed to help African Americans and other ethnicities change their way of thinking. This is a book that will change America, and it is on sale for only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. You can order your book now by sending a text message to area code 706-399-5006. Please put your name and the number of books that you would like to order, and you will be contacted to arrange payment information so that the book can be mailed to you immediately. So please go ahead and don't hesitate. Order your copy today. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, published by Reality Books. The author of this book is the great-grandson, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, the founder of the famous Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, now known as Tuskegee University. The great-grandson of Booker T. Washington is inviting you to order his book. Send a text to area code 706-399-5006. The book is only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. Order your copy today. Thank you. Thank you. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome again to Booker T. Washington African American Family Room Forum on this fall evening, Saturday evening, the 13th of November, 2021. And it has been a very, very hectic year. It's only been a little over a year that we had our national political election. We elected a new president who will serve at least for 4 years, remaining a little over 3 years. And there's a lot that has yet to be done for this president to really prove himself. But one thing that has happened that I want to talk about once we get the show rolling is the infrastructure bill that will be signed into law on Monday by the president, having been passed by both houses of Congress amid a lot of rancor and conflict in ideas. But it has been passed, and so it will become a law. We'll talk about some things concerning that when we get the show going. But I do want to start off by welcoming everyone who's joined us so far. We have our co-host, Ms. Bianchi, and Sheikh John Kenan Bey, plus those of you who are listening via the Internet. And so I want to start off by asking our co-host for a radio check. Can you hear me, Ms. Bianchi?
Hello?
I hear you and people behind you.
Okay. I don't know where that background noise is coming from. It's not coming from my end. I can assure you that. Somebody else has got some background noise. So if everyone would just check, you know, make sure that you don't have any background noise. Okay. Well, thank you very much. Again, want to welcome everyone, and especially the panelists, but also those who are listening via the Internet. You know, we actually have anywhere from 4 to 5 times as many people listening via the Internet than we have actually participating on the panel from the stats that I'm able to see. So for those of you who are listening via the Internet, we certainly encourage you to call in so we can hear your opinions. This is caller's choice, so if you got something on your mind that you would like to share with us, and if we want to get our feedback to it, then call 657-383-0671, 657-383-0671, and I'll try to remember in the next 10 minutes or so to repeat that number, because I know some of you may have to get something with which to write the number down. But it's 657-383-0671. Okay, well, I don't know how long we'll go tonight. Right now it's just the three of us, and we could talk for, you know, the whole 2 hours that I've actually set up for the show, or we could talk for 15 or 20 minutes. I'll leave it up to the panelists. But one thing that's on my mind I would like to share is the fact that, you know, I don't brag about this, but it does mean a lot to me. But I've served in the uniform of the United States Armed Forces since I was 14 years old. And I'll be 78 in 3 weeks. So that's a long, long time. And I became a member of the National Defense Cadet Corps, which is sponsored by the United States Armed Forces, and particularly, in my case, the United States Army, at the St. Emma Military Academy when I was 14 years old. And almost immediately after graduating as a cadet captain from that institution, which is now long been closed, and even the property has been demolished, unfortunately. But I almost immediately, after spending, say, about 4 months in the Air Force ROTC at the University of California, Berkeley, enlisted in the United States Army, where I served on active duty for 3 years and spent 2 years on the front lines in Korea.
And the war was still going on. It's still going on now, technically. There never has been a treaty to end the war. There was just a ceasefire. But the Koreans, the North Koreans, frequently would violate the ceasefire agreement. And so we were always on the ready alert in case they decided to ambush us, because I was right up on the front line. And I say all that to say that, you know, I've been in harm's way over the course of my life, serving a total of 27 years on active duty in the military and 3 years in the reserve, where I could have been called up to go to Vietnam if President Johnson had not decided not to call up the active reserves to go to Vietnam. That was a political decision he made. But, you know, to see our country in a way coming apart at the seams, the country that I was ready to shed blood and lay down my life for on many occasions, it really hurts me. And the point that I'm getting to is the fact that, you know, as we travel throughout the country, now, normally I will take the interstate system, but there are times when I'll get off in some of the state roads and other federal roads I would travel on, because I like to see more of the countryside than just what you can see from the interstate. I haven't seen a lot of need on the roads I've traveled for repair, but I have seen some, especially up in South Carolina. This infrastructure bill, which will become a law of money, is designed to fix these roads throughout the country, not just the interstate roads, but I'm sure money will be provided for the states to fix their roads up, and bridges, railroads. And I am an avid railroad traveler, love to travel on the railroads, but the railroads have not been kept up the way that they used to be kept up when I was coming up as a boy and as a teenager. So this infrastructure bill is going to fix these railroads, and it's going to do a lot of other things to make America safer for travel, and other things that we all should be rejoicing about. But yet there's a lot of tension and a lot of rancor, a lot of outright hostility and hatred going on in our government among members of Congress and people outside of Congress that hate that this bill is going to be put into effect. And I can't understand why Americans would take this position. And the only thing that I've been able to come up with from just reading an article that I read just before the show started is that because Joe Biden is going to be signing it as president. In other words, a Democrat is going to be signing it as president. And that doesn't make any sense, because when Ronald Reagan was president, the Democrats, many of them, got behind him to do a lot of great things. I was a Republican at that time, and may go back to becoming a Republican depending on what the leadership of both parties is promoting. But I've always been a Republican at heart, because my great-grandfather was a Republican. He was a very devout Republican. So it runs in my blood. But the fact is that I just don't understand why something that will benefit all Americans, not even just Americans that travel on the roads, but Americans in general, can cause so much animosity and hatred, even Congress people getting death threats. And what I read, and I'll close and I'll turn over to Ms. Bianchi, I do want to welcome Judy, who joined us, and then we have a caller, another caller from the Detroit area code. You have to announce your own self, because I don't recognize your number associated with the name. But when I call on you, I definitely would like for you to tell us who you are, if you would like to do it. But the point I'm trying to make is that we should be united regardless of who the president is as a country. You know, we're becoming more and more fractured. And it just is something that's hard for me to understand, especially someone like myself who was willing to shed my lifeblood for a country that hasn't always treated the population of people that I descended from rightfully. But still, I love America, and I'll die for America, but I hate to see America destroying itself from within. And that's what I seem to see happening. Ms. Bianca, I'll turn it over to you for any comments. You don't have to address what I said if you don't want to, but it's caller's choice, so please take it from here.
Well, since you put it out there, I'm going to address some of the things as far as the infrastructure bill. Now, I don't know what's all in, contained in it because, what was it, 28,000 pages or 2,800 pages? I heard that it had provisions in there to make those that's in the country. Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. I just made a little faux pas, and I didn't mean to do it, Ms. Cracker, but I was doing something else, and I was going to cut you off.
Where did you leave me
off?
Where did I leave off at?
You were saying you had not read the 2,800 pages, but you were going to go ahead and comment with what you wanted to say about those within the country. That's the last thing I heard.
Yeah, those that's in the country that they're trying to make citizens, I'm totally against that, and everybody should be.
Is that an infrastructure bill?
That's what I heard. I haven't read it. That's what I heard.
Oh,
if it is, well, everybody should be against it. What about the people that come in here and go through the ordeal of doing it the right way?
Let me see, because before we take it to that level, I can look real quick and ask, is immigration addressed? I don't think immigration at all is addressing that in this infrastructure bill. It might be some other bill they're trying to get on. We're talking about the bill that's going to be signed in the law of money.
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about. That's what they said. That's what I heard. I'm not, like I said, I'm not tired of reading no 2,800 pages.
Well, no, I could tell you right quick. I could tell you right quick. Hold on.
But,
let
me go on to a few other things. Yeah, I understand.
Okay.
Let me go on to a few other things. Now, as far as the infrastructure itself, where you're repairing bridges and roads and providing... And you know something that has been needed for a while, a long time, is that people that live in rural areas, and you know the funny thing about it? I was told that there's residences in states like Mississippi that can see Highway 55 if they stand on their porch, and they don't have internet service. At least they didn't when I heard it. Now, I think that that should be provisions to make sure that everyone has the access to the technology that would help to make them better citizens. And you know, one thing when you talk about the service, and I look at internet and even the social media sites as being a common carrier. Common carrier means that it's something that the public, the citizens, use and needs, just like the telephone, in order to carry about their daily lives. So I think that the service should be just as good as it is in the most modern installations, particularly in Korea, where I think the minimum speed is 1 gigabyte, which is really kicking it. So bridges, I said, yes. Usually when the installation of bridges, it's a shared expense with the state or states, and match with the federal government. I know highways is like that, where the federal government match funds with states. And you know one that really needs, and that's our seaport, especially along the East Coast. The seaports are not up to being able to accept what they call the Panamax cargo. Container ships, and the STS, the shore to ship cranes, should be improved and built upon. And the thing that's important about them, that they should be made in the United States. I've seen an article where there was 4 being delivered somewhere up along the East Coast. I think it was a New Jersey seaport, and those 4 ship to shore cranes was coming from Taiwan. And I think that's deplorable. Those should be made here in the U.S., employing U.S. workers. So that's my opinion on the infrastructure bill. And as far as Joe Biden is concerned, I think he's terrible. I think that they got a scheme going on with this poor man. Don't know where he is half the time. I just read where he's lifting tariffs on Japanese imported steel, which hurts American manufacturers like Granite City Steel, which lies right outside of East St. Louis, Illinois, down in the southern region of Illinois. They had recently came back online with a couple blast furnaces, and it's owned by U.S. Steel. And the head of U.S. Steel said the reason why they're reopening that in that town, which depends on that employment, is because of tariffs and taxes. And that's why come they brought it back online, bringing back the lifeblood to that city, putting people back to work. That's all for now.
Okay, well, I just want to address something. I just went up on Senator Chuck Grassley's Senate website, and he's a Republican senator, and he addresses the fact that the infrastructure bill, and this is on his website, I'm just reading, is 100% infrastructure-related spending. And it says that unlike President Biden's initial proposal of the Democrats' current $4.2 trillion wish list, this bill, which will be signed into law Monday, is hard infrastructure and does not include social programs or non-traditional infrastructure. The bill is $558 billion of new infrastructure spending combined with money that will continue to be collected and dedicated to existing infrastructure or projects under current law. And this is what it includes, and it doesn't include anything concerning immigration at all. Roads and bridges, power reliability, broadband deployment, electric grid, new generation energy technology development, and critical mineral supply chains, drinking and wastewater infrastructure, natural disaster prevention and mitigation, airport improvements, public transportation, coastal, inland, and land ports and waterways. And they actually have on this chart, which I won't go into the details, a breakdown of how much money will go for these different things that I mentioned. But there's nothing at all in there about any immigration in this particular bill. So I just want to make sure.
Well, that's great. That is great.
Okay.
And I'm happy to hear it. I'm happy to hear they took all that other stuff out.
Yeah, they took all that other
stuff
out.
You know what else, too? You know what else, too, Marshall? These mean opportunities for businesses and also, of course, we know jobs, but in particular, businesses. Because in order to modernize like they made mention, like he makes mention to, it's going to take new innovations and new technologies, and especially with airports. Did you know if you build an airport that the Federal Aviation Commission Administration will pay you for every airplane that lands there at your airport and for the modernization and so on and so on and so on? And one other thing, I have a young friend of mine, a young black man, and he told me a couple of weeks ago that they're going forth with this business idea. He's an airline pilot. And his business is going to be aerial refueling, which is needed. Because if you are transporting, like FedEx or UPS is transporting by air cargo from the East Coast to the West Coast, and for order for UPS to meet its famous next day delivery, they can't afford to land at an airport, take time to taxi and refuel, then get in line to take off, which may take as much as 3 hours. But if they do aerial refueling, they don't miss a beat. Pull up behind the tanker, the C-71, a C-41, fuel up, disconnect, and keep on going. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Jagger, thank you very much. For those who are listening via the Internet, as I promised, I'm going to announce the number again for you to call in. We certainly encourage you to call in so we can hear your views on whatever's on your mind. So the number to call in is 657-383 0671. So we're going around the virtual family room now. And the next one, the next panelist that I come to is Sheikh John Kenneth Bay. Welcome again, Sheikh John Kenneth Bay. And what are your thoughts tonight?
First of all, I'd like to say good evening to everyone. And
good evening.
I would say that the infrastructure bill has been talked about for years. And I don't know what is in the bill, but one of the things that was mentioned is about the Internet and having access to the Internet. And I think that the demand for it has outgrown it. And some of the limitation with the infrastructure of the Internet has been hampered by the politics, especially when you're talking about 5G, where in out of USA, I think some countries or companies have done much better than they have in the USA. So I think the prejudice of the politics sometimes can be hampering this country here. I think that we should respect more freedoms as we do that. I think the potentials of the citizen in this country here can be realized, but some of these opinions are very restricting and narrow. I think it's too narrow in purpose and scope. Now, for example, immigration, there's few people trying to make a decision about who should come in this country and who shouldn't. They descendants, most of them was in Europe years ago. Originally, the United States was formed with 13 states. Now there's 50 states. And how they get these 50 states? And these 50 states, the way they got them, some people have been ran off and not able to come back into this country. So I think these type of prejudice is kind of to the United States of America, which says all men are created equal. So I think that this narrow-mindedness that's taking place, in time, is going to hamper the success of this country. In fact, implosion might take place because January 6th is a good example of how close you came to doing more damage to this country than your adversaries, whether it's China or whether it's Russia or Korea or whatever. So I think that these prejudices are blinding our people. It's having us think too narrow. And I think that we need to give it up, you know, and learn how to love instead of hate. That's my general opinion about what's taking place here in this country as we see it today.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I just want to make a quick comment. We're going to turn it over to our caller from the 313 area code. But, you know, I teach history, world history, and American history, and I studied both of these topics for the last 50 years, you know, as a college student and graduate student and so forth. And one of the things I've come to realize is that generally a lot of the things that we've been brought up to believe are actually propaganda statements. And the reason why I say that, I'm not talking about us making them into propaganda. I'm saying that the people that started this conversation back in 1776 promoted these ideas as propaganda. Now, this is not in any way to diminish anything, Sheikh John Kenneth Bay, that you said, but this idea that was written into the Declaration of Independence about all men are created equal, that was a propaganda statement. And let me just say this real quick. I'm going to turn it over. But the fact of the matter is that the founding fathers who were trying to get for revolting against the King of England and the Parliament for various reasons, they commissioned Thomas Jefferson along with several other people, but he was like the chairman of that committee, and he was the one that actually, because of his penmanship and his ability to craft fine words, but he didn't put it all together by himself. They put this statement in there about all men being created equal. First of all, they did not include Indians, American Indians. They didn't include black people at all. That was not included in the word men. They didn't see these people as being men in the sense of, you know, men. They thought they were like less than human. They call them savages, barbarians, and just so forth. But the fact is what they were talking about, they were trying to say that they were equal to the citizens, the rest of the citizens, or not citizens, but they were equal with the other subjects of King George. That was what they were saying. That's all they were saying, that they should have the same rights as the other subjects of King George. They were equal before British law. So if the other subjects of King George that lived in Great Britain could have representatives in the parliament before they were taxed or before rules were made concerning them, that the American colonists should have the same thing, because they did not have that at that time. They had no delegate from the colonies sitting in parliament at that time. And that's what they were talking about. So they weren't saying anything that should make anyone believe that they believed that everybody was innately equal. No, no. It was a political statement. And it's important to understand that, because we've been taught that. I know as a child I was taught that, and I'm thinking, well, they said in the founding of this country that everybody was equal, but we're not being treated. But they did not mean what it sounds like they meant. They only meant that they wanted to be treated equally along with the other subjects of the king in terms of being taxed and political rights. That's all they meant. Okay, but now we have our caller from the 313 area code. You can announce who you are if you would like, because I don't recognize your phone number, but your last three digits of your phone number are 508. So please go ahead. The floor is yours.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Is this Brother Jesus?
Of course, my brother.
New number. Yeah, I haven't got used to that number yet. I thought it might be you, but I didn't want to say. But welcome to the show again. Good to hear your voice.
Well, I've been I want to offer my respect to you in terms of your service to this country. As you heard the repertoire to your 27 years active duty and putting, oftentimes in introducing you to other friends, associates, family members. When I talk about you, I never overlooked the fact that you served on the 38th parallel and became a general in the Navy. And so I always, aside from the fact that you're the great grandson of Booker T. Honorable Booker T. Washington, I never, leave that out, because they say a lot of times they only get about a sound bite and mention how you're a professor into 24 different universities in the Augusta, Georgia area, and been a active member of the clergy, on the military base down there, so interfacing with members of the armed forces from all over the world, I don't know how many members of the panel here are fully aware of the your credentials, but I just wanted to give it, since the 11th of this month was honoring our veterans and the liberties that all of us are very adamant about these liberties, and their contribution is oftentimes wanting. But, to address some of the things that you mentioned, Brother Bianchi's address with regard to immigrants, about 11 million immigrants who had, those who were illegally in this country. And then I know even with Obama, where his Biden was his vice president, and you know this whole discussion about a pathway to citizenship was tabled. And I mean, he was in Alabama. There was a law passed that children of all the children had to prove that their parents were citizens. And so the black people were some of the primary, voices that were being heard politically to pass that bill. And because they said that the Mexicans, illegals, as they put them, Mexicans are taking our jobs. And so what the Mexicans did is they left, decided to go back to Mexico. And they say that even the most stout-hearted blacks couldn't last hardly a week in the fields doing the kind of work that they were doing. And I think there's some statistic about that, too, about how many are going back, you know, with the huge investments, you know, you might Ford Motors, you know, they put a huge plant in Mexico, and they was talking about putting another one in there right before President Trump was doing the point of the election. He took his oath of office, but he it was, you know, President Obama made it clear that he had won the Electoral College, you know, and he would be the next president, and he immediately entered into negotiation, you know, when it came to that $1.6 billion investment that Ford was about to make, because the currency differentiation between, you know, is like almost 14 to 1. I mean, if you take $10 out to a local produce market in Mexico, you can buy about $140 worth of groceries U.S. money. And there's a whole enclave of American citizens living, you know, in towns and, you know, right on the other side of that border, you know. And as a matter of fact, you know, some of the people who are advisors, the people who are going to be, you know, fixed income, their retirement, you know, some places in Mexico, they had said, you know, you'll get quite a bang for your buck. So anyway, what Trump said was that Mexico was going to become the biggest automaker in the world if they allow that bill to go through. Because you think about $1.6 billion, and if it's 14-to-1 ratio, that means it's going to be, they're talking about, you know, what would be compared to about 20 billion, almost 20, yeah, 20, close to, you know, close to $20 billion, something like that, you know, installation down there. So when he entered into some discussion with them. See, when you put an installation in another country, you know, you have to go to White House or go to get a what they call a war binder. And so he told them that he was not going to give them a war binder, you know, then Ford changed their mind, because, you know, they're not going to put send that kind of money down there. And all of a sudden, and during that same interim, there's a lot of stuff going on down in Argentina. President Putin said that only thing, America keep on talking about Russia's involvement in the Balkans. So President Putin said, all I have to do is arm your neighbor to the south. And which, you know, we got fourteen hundred miles of open border there, you know. But the biggest thing when it comes to Ford wanting to be sure that they got a war binder is the fact that two presidents ago down in Mexico, I think it was Vicente Fox, anyway, he declared a war against the drug dealers down there, and he lost about 26,000 of his people. But then the next president, who just went out of office last December, before last, anyway, he said he wasn't he wasn't going to be involved in trying to stop that drug traffic down there, because he's there because America has an appetite for it, and it has a lot to do with the laws are being passed when it comes to marijuana, because there was a big problem with that. But anyway, we've been talking about the health of this country, and about the passing of this $1 trillion infrastructure bill due to President Biden due to sign next week. Here in Detroit, there's about 6 billionaires in this area. This was considered the America's heartland. So we're the big three, and yet you even got Motown. Iconic. Repertoire of Detroit. MGM. $650 million casino down there here in Detroit. So anyway, cut to the chase is that about 11,000 jobs right now and they, no matter how much money they offer people, President Biden didn't have several stimulus checks issued to people. In my opinion, the fact that that $3.5 trillion package was cut down to 1.7, which is due to come up next. And they wanted to put them together, but they couldn't do it because people, this pandemic, I think the American people are going through something of a trauma because of this pandemic. Sometimes you can't even pay people to take a job, okay? And because they don't even want to work. And the people who are, religious conviction, and there's been a lot of stations, radio stations, a lot of, to Bible study, because, they constantly start, the evangelists and others, they say, look at all these signs we have. This is a laundry list of things that is predicted, in Revelation, and what's going to happen at the end of time. And then you got, I think they ended the COP 26 in Glasgow, Scotland. I watch PBS, specials and other things, and so the average person is against, with that pandemic, globally losing, more than 4 million lives. And so many people have been impacted in their personal life in terms, so they're saying the value of money has become, secondary to a lot of people.
Jesus, can I interrupt for a second? Because Judah's been waiting for the last almost 45 minutes to get on to say hello and to be greeted. So let me give her a chance to say something, and I'll come back to you, okay? So you can finish. But I just want to make sure she doesn't leave us because she's been waiting a long time to speak. So, hey, Judy, welcome to the show. I didn't mean to keep you waiting so long, but we just were going around the table as people appeared on my screen. I was calling on them, but I know you've been waiting a long time. So welcome to the show, and we certainly welcome any thing that you would like to say about what you've heard or whatever else is on your mind. Before you do that, let me just announce to the Internet audience the number again, because we only have about 15 minutes left, so I want to give those folks a chance if they want to call in. The number is 657-383-0671, 657-383-0671. All right, Judy, go ahead. Welcome again.
Greetings to everyone. Good evening. And that was nice of you. Thank you. I was waiting patiently my turn, and it was no problem. But thanks for your consideration. I really only want, I don't have a long time to stay on, but I did want to just basically say thank you so much to all the veterans, and particularly to you, Marshall, wanting to celebrate Veterans Day on Thursday and celebrate all, in honor, I should say, the service that you provided. And others who may be on the line are listeners who also were veteran, are veterans. So that's kind of all I want to do, wishing everybody a happy holidays in case I'm not on before Thanksgiving. And I'm wishing everybody to stay healthy, happy, blessed, and prosperous. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and sign off. I don't really have anything else that I needed to say in this particular conversation, but I'll listen for it. I'll keep listening.
Okay, well, thank you, Judith, and I thank you very much for being so kind as to recognize not only my military service, but the service of all the veterans is much appreciated. I serve with honor and devotion, and I appreciate your recognizing my service, so thank you. So now what we're going to do, we're going to go back to Mr. Jesus Muhammad Ali so he can conclude what he was wanting to say. And then we're going to go back up the ladder, so to speak, with Sheikh John Kenan Bey after Jesus Muhammad Ali, and then Ms. Bianchi to give us a wrap-up for this evening. And by that time, it'll be the time that I intended to close out the show, which will be 9 o'clock Eastern time. So, Mr. Jesus, please go ahead and continue. Didn't want to interrupt you, but I didn't want to lose Judy because I knew she had been waiting for a long time.
Not at all. We all, you know, my grandfather said that a nation cannot rise any higher than their women. And so when it's the sister, when it's the sister wants to have a word, you know, I was raised, it's becoming a little bit archaic or antiquated. It might be a better choice of words, you know, chauvinist, but I certainly don't like, I would be identified as a pig, but because sometimes they link those two words together. But I noticed even Tupac, one of his last records, you know, was talking, you know, speaking about how, you know, women have the babies, and you know, there's not a person, so I always want to, you know, tip my great grandfather, my grandfather's father, you know, who was a Baptist minister. That was one of the things that was kind of earmarked his personality. They always, you know, he was a Southern Baptist minister, and he always tipped his hat to the ladies. So, Sister Judy, no problem. But moving right along here.
I just wanted to say that's one of my favorite quotes. I always say there's no nation that can rise any higher than its women. So thank you. That was right on time.
Yes, ma'am. I giving honor to our sisters, we can only give honor to ourselves, you know, because they said, you know, I spoke about this on one of the other programs. The last son that was given to me, his mother, you know, she insisted that I be there in the delivery room, and I made mention on one of the other on the program is that my son Solomon, and I told him you can never say nothing bad to me about your mama because I was there in the delivery room, you know, holding her hand, moving right along, so, you know, I think what brought them to step back away from that $3.5 trillion figure is not only the fact they had to have all 50 of the Democratic congressmen, senators represented in that, Virginia, there's no way possible they're going to get Virginia to go along with that because coal, I mean, those people, the coal, Virginia is a coal mining state, and they feel as though they're the ones that smelted all of the steel that
that has built this country, the railroad tracks and the skyscrapers and everything else, and they feel they have a very strong sense of entitlement, and they have a very strong a lobby. I mean, one of the biggest problems they have, even in Scotland, with the COP26 conference, was to get, I think, them to step back from, you know, this use of coal. And I think, China, China is very aggressive. They've got some of the biggest wind farms and, solar panels and all that other stuff, but they're still some of the biggest users between them and India. But anyway, it's so that in Russia nor China, they had representatives there, but they didn't the president's like President Biden, he went there for. But I really admire brother. Anyway. So I know we only have a few more minutes, so I want to just kind of understand the trauma that I mentioned earlier, the trauma that the American people are feeling in terms of what this country has went through when it comes to this pandemic. Living in the moment is and savoring, smelling the roses, smelling the coffee, smelling the tea. America has went through a very serious trauma with this pandemic, losing loved ones and everything. So and they also, with everything going virtual and everything, they want to get out of these big metropolitan areas, because they see they're forcing this integration down their throats, and so sit. Since all they got to do is they don't have to meet with us around the water cooler, so they want to raise their children, and so that the America is going through a metamorphosis of sorts. But anyway, I'm just going to defer, just put it there. But as I told you, with all these things, and earthquakes, floods, everything. I mean, looking so much like what's shared in Revelation. In Revelation, my grandfather, he did a speech in 1972, the Theology of Time, and he was saying, I'm gonna take you in a book that none of those preachers are gonna take you into. I'm gonna take you into Revelation. And he identified himself as the seventh angel who put both hands up to heaven, because say Islam and Judeo-Christian, because Elijah, his name is Elijah is referred to as far as the Torah is concerned, and is they like Elijah to be like. And as far as the New Testament is like Peter, who stands at the gates of heaven, and Elijah always leaves the door open. So, so him speaking the name of Muhammad is just a title, praised and praiseworthy. So, but he said, I am Elijah. So with that, I'm going to defer to anyone else who wants to chime in, because we don't have a few more minutes.
That's right. We don't. No, we only have about 6 minutes. So thank you very much, Minister Jesus Muhammad Ali.
Thank you, Asalaamu.
And for those who are listening via the internet, who come on just for the first time or have not been on often, I would like to acknowledge the fact that he is the grandson of the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. In my life, the most significant man, the most significant leader. And that also includes my great-grandfather. In fact, I believe that if my great-grandfather was living during Elijah's time, he would be a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I really believe that. We're going to go ahead and continue as we wrap up. And Sheikh John Kenan Bey, you're next as we wrap up, and certainly want to hear any closing comments that you would like to make.
I would like to say that all the nations of the earth in these modern days are seeking peace. And that the Constitution of the United States of America was one of the documents or framework that people of the earth recognized that, and they and it used our pattern and inserted some aspects of the principles into their constitution. And the Constitution of the United States of America could be seen as, America could be seen as a government that the prayer is that let thy kingdom come on earth is a government which everyone in the government is doing right. So, but there are people that opposes that. And in time, they would change the minds of the people with their words and their literature and their propaganda. So that being said, Abraham Lincoln, I think he reinforced what preamble of the Constitution of the United States of America in his address, the Gettysburg Address. So Abraham Lincoln was extremely significant because in the forming of the Constitution, one of the errors they made was to legitimize slavery. So slavery in the United States of America officially began with this government. So with that being said, Abraham Lincoln had come, and when Abraham Lincoln came, he ended it. Abraham Lincoln ended slavery in 1865. So I said, he said in Gettysburg Address, that he repeated what this Constitution means to people all over the world. It will bring peace all over the world if people are misunderstanding and trying to live it. So that means people who want to stand for right, who want to be fair. So you're dealing with people who, some won't be fair if you got a 45 to the head. Some are trying to be fair, some are bone fair. So and these, it's being shifting through this now and finding out who is who and where their hearts are as far as their interest in attaining what the world needs now is peace. So that is my response to the conversations that have taken place today. Peace.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Sheikh John Kennebay. Thank you, Sister Judy. Thank you, Mr. Muhammad Ali. And now for our concluding comments, our wrap-up, we want to bring back on our host, Mr. Bianchi. So, Ms. Bianchi, you can close us out.
Well, I was going to say real quick on immigration, as the one gracious an astute politician from Texas, Barbara Jordan, black female, she made mention, and you can listen to her today, that immigration is not a right. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. And we want to have legal immigration under the laws that have been established. And we also want to have people that come to the country to add on and make this country better, not take from it. When you're in another nation and you have issues with your government, unless they're killing you, you're poor and poverty, that's not a reason to immigrate to another country, because what you're doing, you're smooching off of what others have built. No. Stay there and make your own home a good place to be. And what have helped that is nations contribute aid. Now, if you say that you got bad leaders, that's up to you to overthrow your leaders and do what's necessary. It's not up to citizens here to sacrifice their sons and daughters for doing that for you. That's where it has always been. And when people go around the world, they had in the past, it was what you call natural selection or survival of the fittest. That goes on in nature. In the forest, the trees, the sprinkling, the spurling that comes up out the ground, it heads up to try to get to the top of the canopy so it can receive that which it needs in order to survive. That being sunlight and carbon dioxide, which is plant food. Today it has been turned into climate change conspiracy. Same thing happened in the insect world. Same thing happened in the fowl world, which fish? If you have a pond that you fish out of for bluegill and carpie, well, if you introduce sturgeon in that pond, those sturgeon are going to kill them bluegill and carpie and take over. That's natural selection. It goes on with what we call another form of life called human beings, too, in many ways. Early on, it was a crude method. Today, it's a more sophisticated method. Marshall, I thank you for your service. I'm proud to have a veteran like yourself. And I sure this nation appreciate your service, too.
Thank you very much. And God bless America.
Thank you, Mr. Pinky. God bless America. So thank everyone that's joined us tonight as our active panelists and those who join us as our audience via the Internet. And may you continue as we approach the holidays to remember that the COVID pandemic is still raging. People are still dying. America's lost over 700 and I think over 750,000 people since January of 2020. And it's not slowing down, even though you don't hear about it. There's no presidential commission or task force making announcements every day like we had during the previous administration for a while. But it is still in need of our undivided attention to take the necessary precautions to protect ourselves and our families and our loved ones. So going into the holidays, please keep the pandemic and its risks and its dangers in mind, but not to leave on a discouraging note. The holidays are coming. It is the time, whether you do it by Zoom, by telephone call, or meet in person, to reunite with family and friends. So may God bless you as we approach the glorious season of Christmas coming up and as we approach the traditional family get-together season of Thanksgiving. So God bless you and be safe. Good night.